Data analytics and artificial intelligence are today the most important platforms to support the growth of any organization. In this area, Derivo is a strategic partner offering to their customers expert services that include data management, data visualization, predictive analytics, business intelligence, data science, data security, and cloud computing. We have helped customers like HSBC, Sanofi, and Bimbo to generate significant savings in their business, identifying new growth opportunities and reducing risk through data analytical platforms that improve their decision-making, transforming companies to be more informed with data-driven decisions. Derivo is a partner of the best data analytics technologies: Power BI, ClickSense, Tableau, Snowflake, Databricks, Synapse, Azure Machine Learning, etc. Staff your data analytics backlog in a nearshore schema with a certified team of consultants. Derivo, release the power of data.
Hello, I'm Dr. Beverly Wright, and welcome to TAG Data Talk. With us today, we have Nan Lee, Vice President of Machine Learning, AI, and Statistical Practices from Nationwide. Welcome to TAG Data Talk.
Thank you for having me here.
Awesome. Well, let's start off with a little background, Nan. Tell us, why are you so cool?
That's a great question. I'll say first, I probably have the coolest title, right? With AI, ML, stitched in my title. But I actually didn't have classic training on it. My undergrad was in biology. I was in graduate school for structural biology before I decided to get out of lab and switch to the business world by going to get my MBA from Case Western. And there, I concentrated in marketing. Now, I would say marketing was what led me into this fascinating field right now, because I think data analytics started in marketing when everybody was doing database marketing, trying to find the best prospects or best customer for the product. Over time, this field just evolved and changed from database marketing to marketing analytics and data science. Now everybody talk about AI machine learning. This is why I'm here.
Very nice. Love it. And what do you do at Nationwide, really? Are you over, is it three separate teams? Like, is it an AI team, a machine learning team, and a statistical practices, or is it one kind of one team that has different types of people in it?
At Nationwide, Nationwide operates in many different independent business units. But for us, we have this centralized advanced analytic office sit under CFO. So we are the shared service for all the advanced analytic needs for Nationwide. Under our group, my practice, we serve different stakeholders. So I have my dedicated business area I need to support. In addition to that, by my title, I'm responsible for developing and roll out the best practices in AI machine learning for the whole group.
Oh, great. Okay, so you serve kind of as a subject matter expert and somewhat of a center of excellence around machine learning and AI for the entire company.
Right.
And then you
mm-hmm.
have sort of the spokes and the stakeholders outside of that.
Right.
Very nice. Well, we're talking about dispelling the AI hype. And I love that you picked this topic, Nan, because it's such a great topic right now. And so let's start off with, like, when we say AI, that can mean a lot of different things, right? Like robotic process and automation is a type of AI.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there are a lot of heuristic things that you can do that are really AI. Any kind of emulation of a human process can be considered AI, I would imagine.
Right.
So when we're thinking about the data science space, what do we mean when we say AI before we talk about dispelling the hype?
That's a great question. There's many different definitions. The one I've seen most consistently is AI or artificial intelligence refer to machines or most often computer system that mimic or exhibit the behavior of the human intelligence in either performing tasks or making decisions. But a lot of the model we build or in data science really feed in the intelligence into the machine that can perform those tasks. But the model itself is not AI, right? You have to make it work in real world business use cases.
Got it. Okay. So the notion of something that is human driven, but machine operated or machine executed, that and mimics human intelligence, especially around things related to decision making. So if you build a model to help a person make a decision, it can say like, here's how you should hold the golf club. I took up golfing not too long ago, right? Here's how you should hold the golf club on this particular, a green? Not on the green. Anyway, at this particular hole, and here's how you should swing to hit the ball. And it'll tell you what kind of decisions it has produced from the model, but it's not saying you have to do it. You still have the human option to choose that or not. Does that make, right. Is that kind of what you're saying? Is it develops a recommendation of sorts?
That's why I say model itself is not AI. You have the implementation, right? Usually you look at there are three ways AI affects or manifests in the decision making. One is AI make a recommendation, human decide whether you want to take or not, right? This is the interim recommendation or in the insight form. I recommend you buy the stock, but you make a final decision whether you purchase or not. Second could be AI augment the decision. Automatic pop-up, hey, there's a button I recommend buy. Only thing you need is just push the button. You don't need to make a decision on is a good buy or bad, I'm already telling you. The third one would be totally automated. That's automated trading, right? They decide when is best time to buy the stock or sales, trade the stock and execute the transaction completely without human. But we still like human has to be kept in the loop and we can stop it if anything goes wrong.
I see. Okay, so there's three kind of levels, one being the most human, and then the last one being the least amount human, where you're still choosing, but the human may choose to say, like, I'm going to let the machine just go with it and make decisions and spend my money. It's kind of like with automated autonomous vehicles, where they're making lots of decisions, you know, sequentially, and we're not stopping each one or getting asked about each one, but by allowing an autonomous vehicle to drive us from A to B, we're sort of doing that. I see. Okay. So within that context, AI has received a ton of sort of publicity and hype. So can you give us some descriptions about what does this AI hype look like? Like what is AI hype? I can tell you real quick from my side that I hear business leaders all the time say this phrase, Nan, and it's really interesting. They'll say, we just need to get some AI in here. What do you, they haven't even figured out where their data is yet. And they're saying like, we just need some AI. So can you talk us through like, what does this hype look like and what the heck, man?
Sure. I want to talk about hype. Later, also maybe it can demystify why it's not a hype altogether. So first, I'll say people think AI is the newest, biggest thing, right? So just discover it can do everything. I won't demystify it. It's not totally new. AI, the term, was first introduced in mid-50s by scientists doing the workshop. But back then, they didn't have enough data or the computing power to run through all the calculations. So the concept and some of the basic implementation was there. It was slow, it was small. Now it's become faster and bigger. But itself, you know, it's not totally new. Also, second hype people have is they believe with the advancement in methodology, technology, and availability of massive data, AI becomes so easy, just a press a button. Right, we heard a lot of vendor pitching auto ML. You press a button, I auto deployment, and everything will be fine. I would say that is not the case. AI actually is not as easy as described. It is not just because the difficulty or the complex in the mathematics or statistics part, which we can hire a lot of masters or PhD to do so, but more important is good problem formulation, having the right data, having a good design, and very robust engineering. So the first on the problem formulation is, if you ask the right question, you'll get the right answer. If you ask the wrong question, AI can help you get the wrong solution or undesired outcome even better and faster. sometimes, right? That's why having the right problem and formulation is very important. And second, AI is trained on data. We heard a lot about garbage in, garbage out. If you don't have a good, reliable, relevant data that match your desired outcome, that might lead to you something you might, it's unexpected, right? So data is the raw ingredient of a good AI model. And then talk about design. We talk about what AI is, right? It's different ways to interact with human. The goal for AI is to help make our life better. But we have to understand how our operate life now, what the current process look like, how we can ingest AI to make human perform better than competing with humans. Sometimes we may make the users resent or reject to in using AI to help them. And people feel they're losing jobs. Maybe we can design that instead of losing jobs, we augment their job, make their life easier. They can continue be doing what they like to do. The last one, I'll talk about engineering. The jazz word right now is called ML ops or even model ops, right? How to operationalize AI model, I'll say that still continue to be a challenge. A lot of companies, even including us, model development no longer be a problem, but how to operationalize AI model when it starts interacting with so many downstream business application and business processes. If one thing goes wrong, you have, you know, manifest impact on the other things. That one is, I think, this really difficult area to solve, but where we have the biggest opportunity right now. As the last one, people think AI, they feel it's magical, it's almighty. AI can solve my problem. Hey, ask AI what I should do, or AI will solve the problem. But that's not the case, because AI doesn't know what's right or what's wrong. The model behind AI trained on data based on some kind of people input, right? We have the objective. So humans still need to guide and provide guardrails and controls over AI so it doesn't go out of control, right? We've saw some sci-fis, you know, AI may take over and something unexpected happened. That might be real. Other things is we have to consider our potential impact of AI. Whether it's recommendation, little things, if it goes wrong, that's okay. But when the application has a huge impact on people's life or health, for example, any deviation, potential error has a huge consequence. And we have to be really careful about that.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. So you said a lot of things. I love your list. The first part that you said is, look, man, this is not brand new. Okay. Alan Turing was born in, you know, the 20s or something, or I think he was around in the 30s when he did most of his work. And I guess technically AI probably started at least in concept when he was around. And I think the earliest application was by Oxford, somebody, University of Oxford or something in the 50s. So it's not, mm-hmm. It's not a new thing, right? It's not really a new thing, mm-hmm. But maybe it's exploded because of the availability and the processing capabilities of data. So we have processing capabilities, we have more data, and that's probably part of it. Plus the recognition and the advancement of the data science community that, oh my gosh, you can leverage data to find some really powerful insights. So those kinds of things have probably catapulted it to the front, but good point. It's not really a new thing. The second thing I heard was it sounds like you have a framework, and I'm not sure I got all of them, but some of the things are like problem framing. It's interesting because we just talked to somebody for Tag Data Talk about what do they think is going to be the future for data science talent. And she was saying, I feel like some of the tools are going to take over, you know, some of the model part. And we're going to need people that intimately understand how to frame problems and know if what the tools are producing are valid. So it's less the building the models and it's more understanding what's in the suit. And how that works. So the first part being problem framing, which I love, that's a step that many people, they want to start with the data and they don't want to start with the problem. Mm-hmm. So I'm glad that you mentioned that first. And you mentioned the data itself, kind of a GIGO situation, the design or in a sense, sort of an analytics planning part of it. And then you mentioned the have really strong engineering. And then there was a fifth one. I'm not sure I caught it. What was it? Do you remember? mentioned the magic. Yeah.
Yeah, the last one is more, I don't know whether you're the second one subset or just last point about this control, the ethics, the governance on AI.
Oh, yes, the governance. Yeah, yeah, mm-hmm. That's a topic that has been coming up a good bit. Like with AutoML systems, for example, you know, if it's not recognizing your hands because your hand, your particular hand colors or your types of hands were not programmed in, you know, in the set, then that's one thing, you don't get to clean your hands that day or at least rinse them. But if the same situation happens with autonomous vehicles and they don't see you on the side of the street, that's a whole other situation.
Right.
So it could potentially produce somewhat dangerous results if we're not ethical, if we're not careful, if we're not managing the process. So great, great, great points. What do you think are some of the biggest challenges? I mean, you're at Nationwide, you guys are applying AI and you're seeing AI applied all over the country and you're hearing about it at conferences, I'm sure. What do you think are some of the biggest challenges in applying AI to solve problems?
Yeah, I've seen a lot. I will go back to the fundamental. Number one, AI is trying to solve a problem. So the good business understanding is very important, and educating our business leaders, whoever is going to fund or sponsor or use AI, they understand what they can cannot do. I want them to continue to challenge us with good solutions, right? We should be able to do it faster, better, but also be realistic, you know, what problem we're trying to solve with this and with the right timeline. Our second challenge everybody is experiencing right now is the talent shortage, right? And that needs change over time. Before, we need a lot of good people with good math statistics. Now we're adding engineering component, we're adding design component. We were trying to find a unicorn, and one time, then now people, so maybe when you're team sports, even now within the team sports, the definition of different position, roles are evolving over time. Some of the newest role, we have data scientist, ML engineer, we have ML ops engineer, then we have AI ethicist right now, looking at the thing. So there's this talent, the requirements and definition and continue to evolve. And where the talent sits even, right? That's what we're trying to figure out, how can organize in the best way. So I also second challenge. The third I already mentioned, operationalization. We cannot be exercised in the Ivy Tower anymore, just present exactly with the perfect or beautiful insights in PowerPoint. We have to make this work in real world use cases, sometimes with sub-second response, with continuous like autonomous vehicle. It can't. It has to be working in real world use cases seamlessly. The last one I will say will be AI governance. I had a LinkedIn post, even White House had the first Bill of Rights draft, AI Bill of Rights. There's other governments, like we look at Singapore government posted their AI governance framework on their website. So that is a regulation, how we govern it, both from private sector and public sector. That is a completely new area for us to explore.
Fantastic. Love it. So this is a really good list. Some of the things that especially stood out to me are, you talked about the use cases and being able to come up with like, where are the best application areas? That to me, it seems like it's maybe not the biggest barrier, but I think it's the first barrier, you know, where companies are saying like, I don't even know where, they don't have enough understanding about what it really is to understand where to apply it. So I definitely see some of what you're saying here. Time is slipping away because it's such a great topic. The last question, how can we improve AI applications and kind of reduce the hype a little? Like, you know, make it more for the common person. Like, how do we how do we get better at making this a business as usual kind of function?
I'll say be optimistic and realistic at the same time, right? Common person, I would say data literacy, for example, everybody get educated on what AI is, what is not. Then we roll out some common tools to allow people to automate or augment their daily tasks. And then more complex use cases, we have a good team. So there's a tiered approach, right? It's not data science job is everybody's responsibility, even using it to improve your daily work gradually, or for us, identify use cases where we can use AI to improve our business or improve our society altogether.
Love it. So really investing in the sense of making it a part of a culture, coming up with the right teams and the right organizational structure, and just enabling the capability altogether. Great. And so what final piece of advice would you give, Dan, to someone trying to help dispel the AI hype?
Like I said, be optimistic and realistic. Don't be afraid, right? Just embrace it.
Set the example. Okay. Love it. Great. Thank you so much to Nan Lee, Vice President of AI, ML, and Statistical Practices at Nationwide, for talking to us about dispelling the AI hype.
Thank you. It's my pleasure.